to get to the Lightwoods' house, and then I have to find Luke.
The Lightwoods? I think they're in the Accords Hall. That's where we've been bringing everyone.
I saw Alec there, at least, Maya said.
And that Warlock, too. The one with the spiky hair? Magnus?
If Alec is there, the others must be, too.
The look of relief on Jace's face made Clary want to put her hand on his shoulder. She didn't.
Clever to bring everyone to the hall. It's warded.
He slid the glowing Seraph blade into his belt.
Come on, let's go.
Clary recognized the inside of the Hall of Accords the moment she entered it. It was the place she had dreamed about, where she had been dancing with Simon and then Jace. This was where I was trying to send myself when I went through the portal, she thought, looking around at the pale white walls and the high ceiling with its enormous glass skylight, through which she could see the night sky. The room, though very large, seemed somehow smaller and dingier than it had in her dream. The mermaid fountain was still there in the center of the room, spurting water, but it looked tarnished, and the steps that led up to it were crowded with people, many sporting bandages. The space was full of shadow hunters, people hurrying here and there, sometimes stopping to peer into the faces of other passers-by, as if hoping to find a friend or a relative. The floor was filthy with dirt, tracked with smeared mud and blood. What struck Clary more than anything else was the silence. If this had been the aftermath of some disaster in the mundane world, there would have been people shouting, screaming, calling out to one another. But the room was almost soundless. People sat quietly, some with their heads in their hands, some staring into space. Children huddled close to their parents, but none of them were crying. She noticed something else, too, as she made her way into the room, Jace and Maya on either side of her. There was a group of scruffy-looking people standing by the fountain in a ragged circle. They stood somehow apart from the rest of the crowd, and when Maya caught sight of them and smiled, Clary realized why.
"My pack!" Maya exclaimed.
She darted toward them, pausing only to glance back over her shoulder at Clary as she went.
"I'm sure Luke's around here somewhere," she called, and vanished into the group which closed around her.
Clary wondered for a moment what would happen if she followed the werewolf girl into the circle. Would they welcome her as Luke's friend, or just be suspicious of her as another shadow hunter?
"Don't," Jace said, as if reading her mind. "It's not a good..."
But Clary never found out what it wasn't, because there was a cry of, "Jace!" and Alec appeared, breathless from pushing his way through the crowd to get to them. His dark hair was a mess, and there was blood on his clothes, but his eyes were bright with a mixture of relief and anger. He grabbed Jace by the front of his jacket.
"What happened to you?"
Jace looked affronted.
"What happened to me?"
Alec shook him, not lightly.
"You said you were going for a walk. What kind of walk takes 6 hours?
"A long one," Jace suggested.
"I could kill you," Alec said, releasing his grip on Jace's clothes. "I'm seriously thinking about it."
"That would kind of defeat the purpose, though, wouldn't it?" said Jace. He glanced around. "Where is everyone? Isabel and..."
"Isabel and Max are back at the Penhallows with Sebastian," said Alec. "Mom and Dad are on their way there to get them, and Aline's here with her parents, but she's not talking much. She had a pretty bad time with a Rescore demon down by one of the canals, but Izzy saved her."
"And Simon?" Clary said anxiously. "Have you seen Simon? He should have come down with the others from the guard."
Alec shook his head. "No, I haven't. But I haven't seen the Inquisitor either, or the Consul. He'd probably be with one of them. Maybe they stopped somewhere else, or..."
He broke off as a murmur swept the room. Clary saw the group of lycanthropes look up, alert as a group of hunting dogs scenting game. She turned and saw Luke, tired and bloodstained, coming through the double doors of the hall. She ran toward him, forgetting how upset she'd been when he'd left, and forgetting how angry he'd been with her for bringing them here, forgetting everything but how glad she was to see him. He looked surprised for a moment as she barreled toward him, then he smiled and put his arms out, and picked her up as he hugged her, the way he'd done when she'd been very small.
He smelled like blood and flannel and smoke. And for a moment she closed her eyes, thinking of the way Alec had grabbed onto Jace the moment he'd seen him in the hall. Because that was what you did with family when you'd been worried about them. You grabbed them and held on to them and told them how much they'd pissed you off, and it was okay. Because no matter how angry you got, they still belonged to you. And what she had said to Valentine was true. Luke was her family. He set her back down on her feet, wincing a little as he did so.
"Careful," he said. "A croucher demon got me in the shoulder by the Merryweather Bridge."
He put his hands on her shoulders, studying her face.
"But you're all right, aren't you?"
"Well, this is a touching scene," said a cold voice. "Isn't it?"
Clary turned, Luke's hand still on her shoulder. Behind her stood a tall man in a blue cloak that swirled around his feet as he moved toward them. His face under the hood of his cloak was the face of a carved statue, high cheekboned with eagle-sharp features and heavy-lidded eyes.
"Lucian," he said, without looking at Clary. "I might have expected you'd be the one behind this invasion."
"Invasion?"
Luke echoed, and suddenly there was his pack of lycanthropes standing behind him. They had moved into place so quickly and silently, it was as if they'd appeared from out of nowhere.
"We're not the ones who invaded your city, Consul. That was Valentine. We're just trying to help."
"The Clave doesn't need help," the Consul snapped. "Not from the likes of you. You're breaking the law just by entering the Glass City, wards or no wards. You must know that."
"I think it's fairly clear that the Clave does need help. If we hadn't come when we did, many more of you would now be dead."
Luke glanced around the room. Several groups of shadow hunters had moved toward them, drawn to see what was going on. Some of them met Luke's gaze head-on, others dropped their eyes as if ashamed. But none of them, Clary thought with a sudden surge of surprise, looked angry.
"I did it to prove a point, Malachi."
Malachi's voice was cold.
"And what point might that be?"
"That you need us," Luke said. "To defeat Valentine, you need our help. Not just the help of lycanthropes, but of all downworlders."
"What can downworlders do against Valentine?" Malachi asked scornfully. "Lucian, you know better than that. You were one of us once. We have always stood alone against all perils and guarded the world from evil. We will meet Valentine's power now with a power of our own. The downworlders would do well to stay out of our way. We are Nephilim. We fight our own battles."
"That's not precisely true, is it?" said a velvety voice. It was Magnus Bane, wearing a long and glittering coat, multiple hoops in his ears, and a roguish expression. Clary had no idea where he'd come from.
"You lot have used the help of warlocks on more than one occasion in the past, and paid handsomely for it, too."
Malachi scowled.
"I don't remember the Clave inviting you into the Glass City, Magnus Bane."
"They didn't," Magnus said. "Your wards are down?"
"Really?" The Consul's voice dripped sarcasm. "I hadn't noticed."
Magnus looked concerned.
"That's terrible. Someone should have told you."
He glanced at Luke.
"Tell him the wards are down."
Luke looked exasperated.
"Malachi, for God's sake, the downworlders are strong. We have numbers. I told you we can help."
The Consul's voice rose.
"And I told you, we don't need or want your help."
"Magnus." Clary slipped silently to his side and whispered. A small crowd had gathered, watching Luke and the Consul fight. She was fairly sure no one was paying attention to her. "Come talk to me, while they're all too busy squabbling to notice." Magnus gave her a quick, questioning look, nodded and drew her away, cutting through the crowd like a can opener. None of the assembled shadow hunters or werewolves seemed to want to stand in the way of a 6-foot-tall warlock with cat eyes and a manic grin. He hustled her into a quieter corner.
"What is it?"
"I got the book." Clary drew it from the pocket of her bedraggled coat, leaving smeared fingerprints on the ivory cover. "I went to Valentine's Manor. It was in the library, like you said, and..." She broke off, thinking of the imprisoned angel. "Never mind."
She offered him the Book of the White. Here, take it. Magnus plucked the book from her grasp with a long-fingered hand. He flipped through the pages, his eyes widening.
This is even better than I'd heard it was, he announced gleefully. I can't wait to get started on these spells.
Magnus! Clary's sharp voice brought him back down to earth. My mom first. You promised.
And I abide by my promises.
The warlock nodded gravely, but there was something in his eyes, something Clary didn't quite trust. There's something else, too, she added, thinking of Simon. Before you go.
Clary.
A voice spoke breathless at her shoulder. She turned in surprise to see Sebastian standing beside her. He was wearing gear, and it looked right on him somehow, she thought, as if he were born to wear it. Where everyone else looked blood-stained and disheveled, he was unmarked, except for a double line of scratches that ran the length of his left cheek, as if something had clawed at him with a taloned hand.
I was worried about you. I went by Amatis's house on the way here, but you weren't there, and she said she hadn't seen you.
Well, I'm fine. Clary glanced from Sebastian to Magnus, who was holding the Book of the White against his chest. Sebastian's angular eyebrows were raised. Are you? Your face. She reached up to touch his injuries. The scratches were still oozing a trace amount of blood. Sebastian shrugged, brushing her hand away gently.
A she-demon got me near the Penhallows. I'm fine, though.
What's going on?
Nothing. I was just talking to
Ragnar, Clary said hastily, realizing with a sudden horror that Sebastian had no idea who Magnus actually was.
Ma Ragnar?
Sebastian arched his eyebrows.
Okay, then.
He glanced curiously at the Book of the White. Clary wished Magnus would put it away. The way he was holding it, its gilded lettering was clearly visible.
What's that?
Magnus studied him for a moment, his cat eyes considering.
A spell book, he said finally. Nothing that would be of interest to a shadow hunter.
Actually, my aunt collects spell books. Can I see? Sebastian held his hand out, but before Magnus could refuse, Clary heard someone call her name, and Jace and Alec descended on them, clearly none too pleased to see Sebastian.
I thought I told you to stay with Max and Isabel, Alec snapped at him. Did you leave them alone?
Slowly, Sebastian's eyes moved from Magnus to Alec.
Your parents came home, just like you said they would.
His voice was cold.
They sent me ahead to tell you they were all right, and so are Izzy and Max. They're on their way. Well, said Jace, his voice heavy with sarcasm, thanks for passing on that news the second you got here.
I didn't see you the second I got here, said Sebastian. I saw Clary.
Because you were looking for her.
Because I need to talk to her, alone.
He caught Clary's eyes again, and the intensity in them gave her pause. She wanted to tell him not to look at her like that when Jace was there, but that would sound unreasonable and crazy, and besides, maybe he actually had something important to tell her.
Clary?
She nodded. All right, just for a second, she said, and saw Jace's expression change. He didn't scowl, but his face went very still. I'll be right back, she added, but Jace didn't look at her. He was looking at Sebastian. Sebastian took her by the wrist and drew her away from the others, pulling her toward the thickest part of the crowd. She glanced back over her shoulder. They were all watching her, even Magnus. She saw him shake his head once, very slightly. She dug her heels in. Sebastian, stop. What is it? What do you have to tell me? He turned to face her, still holding her wrist.
I thought we could go outside, he said. Talk in private?
No, I want to stay here, she said, and heard her own voice waver slightly, as if she weren't sure.
But she was sure.
She yanked her wrist back, pulling it out of his grasp. What is going on with you?
That book, he said. That Fel was holding. The Book of the White. Do you know where he got it?
That's what you wanted to talk to me about?
It's an extraordinarily powerful spell book, explained Sebastian. And one that, well, that a lot of people have been looking for a long time.
She blew out an exasperated breath.
All right, Sebastian, look, she said. That's not Ragnar Fell. That's Magnus Bane.
That's Magnus Bane?
Sebastian spun around and stared before turning to Clary with an accusatory look in his eyes.
And you knew all along, right? You know Bane.
Yes, and I'm sorry. But he didn't want me to tell you, and he was the only one who could help me save my mother. That's why I gave him the Book of the White. There's a spell in there that might help her.
Something flashed behind Sebastian's eyes, and Clary had the same feeling she'd had after he'd kissed her. A sudden wrench of wrongness, as if she'd taken a step forward expecting to find solid ground under her feet and instead plunged into empty space. His hand shot out and grabbed her wrist.
You gave the Book of the White, to a warlock? A filthy downworlder?
Clary went very still. I can't believe you just said that.
She looked down at the place where Sebastian's hand encircled her wrist.
Magnus is my friend.
Sebastian loosened his grip on her wrist, just a fraction.
I'm sorry, he said. I shouldn't have said that. It's just...
How well do you know Magnus Bane?
Better than I know you, Clary said coldly.
She glanced back toward the place she'd left Magnus standing with Jason Alec, and a shock of surprise went through her. Magnus was gone. Jason Alec stood by themselves watching her and Sebastian. She could sense the heat of Jace's disapproval like an open oven. Sebastian followed her gaze, his eyes darkening.
Well enough to know where he went with your book?
It's not my book. I gave it to him, Clary snapped. But there was a cold feeling in her stomach, remembering that shadowed look in Magnus's eyes. And I don't see what business it is of yours either. Look, I appreciate that you offered to help me find Ragnar Fell yesterday, but you're really freaking me out right now. I'm going back to my friends.
She started to turn away, but he moved to block her.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I did. It's just, there's more to all this than you know.
So tell me.
Come outside with me. I'll tell you everything. His tone was anxious, worried. Clary, please.
She shook her head. I have to stay here. I have to wait for Simon. It was partly true and partly an excuse. Alec told me they'd be bringing the prisoners here.
Sebastian was shaking his head. Clary, didn't anyone tell you? They left the prisoners behind. I heard Malachi say so. The city was attacked and they evacuated the guard, but they didn't get the prisoners out. Malachi said they were both in league with Valentine anyway, that there was no way letting them out wouldn't be too much of a risk.
Clary's head seemed to be full of fog. She felt dizzy and a little sick.
That can't be true.
It is true, Sebastian said. I swear it is.
His grip on Clary's wrist tightened again and she swayed on her feet.
I can take you up there. Up to the guard. I can help you get him out. But you have to promise me that you'll...
She doesn't have to promise you anything, Jace said.
Let her go, Sebastian.
Sebastian, startled, loosened his grip on Clary's wrist. She pulled it free, turning to see Jace and Alec, both scowling. Jace's hand was resting lightly on the hilt of the seraph blade at his waist.
Clary can do what she wants, Sebastian said.
He wasn't scowling, but there was an odd, fixed look about his face that was somehow worse. And right now she wants to come with me to save her friend. The friend you got thrown in prison.
Alec blanched at that, but Jace only shook his head.
I don't like you, he said thoughtfully. I know everyone else likes you, Sebastian, but I don't.
Maybe it's that you work so hard to make people like you.
Maybe I'm just a contrary bastard, but I don't like you. And I don't like the way you're grabbing at my sister. If she wants to go up to the guard and look for Simon, fine, she'll go with us, not you.
Sebastian's fixed expression didn't change.
I think that should be her choice, he said. Don't you?
They both looked at Clary. She looked past them toward Luke, still arguing with Malachi.
I want to go with my brother, she said.
Something flickered behind Sebastian's eyes. Something that was there and gone too quickly for Clary to identify it, though she felt a chill at the base of her neck, as if a cold hand had touched her there.
Of course you do, he said, and stepped aside.
It was Alec who moved first, pushing Jace ahead of him, making him walk. They were partway to the doors when she realized that her wrist was hurting,
stinging as if it had been burned. Looking down, she expected to see a mark on her wrist where Sebastian had gripped her, but there was nothing there. Just a smear of blood on her sleeve where she had touched the cut on his face. Frowning, with her wrist still stinging, she drew her sleeve down and hurried to catch up with the others.
Chapter 12. De Profundis. Simon's hands were black with blood. He had tried yanking the bars out of the window and the cell door, but touching any of them for very long seared bleeding score marks into his palms. Eventually he collapsed, gasping on the floor, and stared numbly at his hands as the injuries swiftly healed, the lesions closing up and the blackened skin flaking away like in a video on Fast Forward. On the other side of the cell wall, Samuel was praying.
If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help.
Simon knew he couldn't pray. He tried it before, and the name of God burned in his mouth and choked his throat. He wondered why he could think the words but not say them, and why he could stand in the noonday sun and not die, but he couldn't say his last prayers. Smoke had begun to drift down the corridor like a purposeful ghost. He could smell burning and hear the crackle of fire spreading out of control, but he felt oddly detached, far from everything. It was strange to become a vampire, to be presented with what could only be described as an eternal life, and then to die anyway when you were 16.
Simon!
The voice was faint, but his hearing caught it over the pop and crackle of growing flames. The smoke in the corridor had presaged heat. The heat was here now, pressing against him like an oppressive wall.
Simon!
The voice was Clary's. He would know it anywhere. He wondered if his mind was conjuring it up now, a sense memory of what he'd most loved during life to carry him through the process of death.
Simon, you stupid idiot, I'm over here, at the window.
Simon jumped to his feet. He doubted his mind would conjure that up. Through the thickening smoke he saw something white moving against the bars of the window. As he came closer, the white objects evolved into hands gripping the bars. He leaped onto the cot, yelling over the sound of the fire.
Clary?
Oh, thank God.
One of the hands reached out, squeezed his shoulder. We're going to get you out of here.
How?
Simon demanded, not unreasonably. But there was the sound of a scuffle, and Clary's hands vanished, replaced a moment later by another pair. These were bigger hands, unquestionably masculine, with scarred knuckles and thin pianist fingers.
Hang on.
Jace's voice was calm, confident, for all the world as if they were chatting at a party instead of through the bars of a rapidly burning dungeon.
You might want to stand back.
Startled into obedience, Simon moved aside. Jace's hands tightened on the bars, his knuckles whitening alarmingly. There was a groaning crack and the square of bars jerked free of the stone that held it and clattered to the ground beside the bed. Stone dust rained down in a choking white cloud. Jace's face appeared at the empty square of window.
Simon, come on!
He reached down. Simon reached up and caught Jace's hand. He felt himself hauled up, and then he was grabbing at the edge of the window, lifting himself through the narrow square like a snake wriggling through a tunnel. A second later, he was sprawled out on damp grass, staring up at a circle of worried faces above his. Jace, Clary, and Alec. They were all looking down at him in concern.
You look like crap, vampire, Jay said. What happened to your hands?
Simon sat up. The injuries to his hands had healed, but they were still black where he'd grabbed at the bars of his cell. Before he could reply, Clary caught him in a sudden, fierce hug.
Simon, she breathed, I can't believe it. I didn't even know you were here. I thought you were in New York until last night.
Yeah, well, Simon said, I didn't know you were here either.
He glanced at Jace over his shoulder.
In fact, I think I was specifically told that you weren't. I never said that,
Jace pointed out.
I just didn't correct you when you were, you know, wrong. Anyway, I just saved you from being burned to death, so I figured you're not allowed to be mad.
Burned to death. Simon pulled away from Clary and stared around. They were in a square garden surrounded on two sides by the walls of the fortress and on the other two sides by a heavy growth of trees. The trees had been cleared where a gravel path led down to the hill to the city. It was lined with witchlight torches,
but only a few were burning, their light dim and erratic. He looked up at the guard. Seen from this angle, you could barely even tell there was a fire. Black smoke stained the sky overhead, and the light in a few windows seemed unnaturally bright, but the stone walls hid their secret well.
"Samuel," he said. "We have to get Samuel out."
Clary looked baffled. "Who?"
"I wasn't the only person down there. Samuel. He was in the next cell."
"The heap of rags I saw through the window?" Jace recalled.
"Yeah, he's kind of weird, but he's a good guy. We can't leave him down there."
Simon scrambled to his feet.
"Samuel? Samuel!"
There was no answer. Simon ran to the low barred window beside the one he'd just crawled through. Through the bars, he could see only swirling smoke.
"Samuel, are you in there?"
Something moved inside the smoke, something hunched and dark.
Samuel's voice, roughened by smoke, rose hoarsely. "Leave me alone. Go away. Samuel, you'll die down there."
Simon yanked at the bars. Nothing happened.
"No. Leave me alone. I want to stay."
Simon looked desperately around to see Jace beside him.
"Move,"
Jace said. And when Simon leaned to the side, he kicked out with a booted foot. It connected with the bars, which tore free violently from their mooring and tumbled into Samuel's cell. Samuel gave a hoarse shout.
"Samuel, are you all right?"
A vision of Samuel being brained by the falling bars rose up before Simon's eyes. Samuel's voice rose to a scream.
"Go away!"
Simon looked sideways at Jace.
"I think he means it."
Jace shook his blonde head in exasperation.
"You had to make a crazy jail friend, didn't you? You couldn't just count ceiling tiles or tame a pet mouse like normal prisoners do."
Without waiting for an answer, Jace got down on the ground and crawled through the window.
"Jace!" Clary yelped.
And she and Alec hurried over, but Jace was already through the window, dropping into the cell below. Clary shot Simon an angry look.
"How could you let him do that?"
"Well, he couldn't leave that guy down there to die," Alec said unexpectedly, though he looked a little anxious himself. "It's Jace we're talking about here?"
He broke off as two hands rose up out of the smoke. Alec grabbed one and Simon the other, and together they hauled Samuel like a limp sack of potatoes out of the cell and deposited him on the lawn. A moment later, Simon and Clary were grabbing Jace's hands and pulling him out, though he was considerably less limp and swore when they accidentally banged his head on the ledge. He shook them off, crawling the rest of the way onto the grass himself and then collapsing onto his back.
"Ouch," he said, staring up at the sky. "I think I pulled something."
He sat up and glanced over at Samuel.
"Is he okay?"
Samuel sat hunched on the ground, his hands splayed over his face. He was rocking back and forth soundlessly.
"I think there's something wrong with him," said Alec.
He reached down to touch Samuel's shoulder. Samuel jerked away, almost toppling over.
"Leave me alone," he said, his voice cracking. "Please, leave me alone, Alec."
Alec went still all over. "What did you say?"
"He said to leave him alone," said Simon.
But Alec wasn't looking at him, didn't even appear to notice he had spoken. He was looking at Jace, who, suddenly very pale, had already begun to rise to his feet.
"Samuel," Alec said.
His tone was strangely harsh.
"Take your hands away from your face."
"No."
Samuel tucked his chin down, his shoulders shaking.
"No, please, no."
"Alec," Simon protested. "Can't you see he isn't well?"
Clary caught at Simon's sleeve. "Simon, there's something wrong." Her eyes were on Jace. When weren't they? As he moved to stare down at the crouched figure of Samuel. The tips of Jace's fingers were bleeding where he'd scraped them on the window ledge, and when he moved to push his hair back from his eyes, they left bloody tracks across his cheek. He didn't seem to notice. His eyes were wide, his mouth a flat, angry line.
"Shadow Hunter," he said.
His voice was deathly clear.
"Show us your face."
Samuel hesitated, then dropped his hands. Simon had never seen his face before, and he hadn't realized how gaunt Samuel was, or how old he looked. His face was half covered by a thatch of thick gray beard, the eyes swimming in dark hollows, his cheeks grooved with lines. but for all that, he was still, somehow, strangely familiar. Alec's lips moved, but no sound came out. It was Jace who spoke.
"Hodge," he said.
"Hodge?" Simon echoed in confusion. "But it can't be. Hodge was... and Samuel... he can't be." "Well, that's just what Hodge does, apparently," Alec said bitterly. "He makes you think he's someone he's not."
"But he said..." Simon began.
Clary's grip tightened on his sleeve, and the words died on his lips. The expression on Hodge's face was enough. Not guilt, really, or even horror at being discovered, but a terrible grief that was hard to look at for long.
"Jace," Hodge said very quietly. "Alec, I'm so sorry."
Jace moved then the way he moved when he was fighting, like sunlight across water. He was standing in front of Hodge with a knife out, the sharp tip of it aimed at his old tutor's throat. The reflected glow of the fire slid off the blade.
"I don't want your apologies. I want a reason why I shouldn't kill you right now, right here."
"Jace." Alec looked alarmed.
"Jace, wait."
There was a sudden roar as part of the guard roof went up in orange tongues of flame. Heat shimmered in the air and lit the night. Clary could see every blade of grass on the ground, every line on Hodge's thin and dirty face.
"No,"
Jace said. His blank expression as he gazed down at Hodge reminded Clary of another mask-like face. Valentine's.
"You knew what my father did to me, didn't you? You knew all his dirty secrets."
Alec was looking uncomprehendingly from Jace to his old tutor.
"What are you talking about? What's going on?"
Hodge's face creased.
"Jonathan. You've always known, and you never said anything. All those years in the Institute, and you never said anything."
Hodge's mouth sagged.
I wasn't sure," he whispered. "When you haven't seen a child since he was a baby. I wasn't sure who you were, much less what you were."
"Jace?" Alec was looking from his best friend to his tutor, his blue eyes dismayed, but neither of the two was paying attention to anything but the other. Hodge looked like a man trapped in a tightening vise, his hands jerking at his sides as if with pain, his eyes darting. Clary thought of the neatly dressed man in his book-lined library who had offered her tea and kindly advice. It seemed like a thousand years ago.
"I don't believe you," Jace said. "You knew Valentine wasn't dead. He must have told you."
"He told me nothing," Hodge gasped. "When the Lightwoods informed me they were taking in Michael Whalen's son, I hadn't heard a word from Valentine since the uprising. I had thought he had forgotten me. I'd even prayed he was dead, but I never knew. And then the night before you arrived, Hugo came with a message for me from Valentine. 'The boy is my son,' that's all it said."
He took a ragged breath.
"I had no idea whether to believe him. I thought I'd know. I thought I'd know, just looking at you. But there was nothing, nothing to make me sure. And I thought that this was a trick of Valentine's. But what trick? What was he trying to do?"
"You had no idea, that was clear enough to me. But as for Valentine's purpose..."
"You should have told me what I was," Jay said, all in one breath, as if the words were being punched out of him. "I could have done something about it then. Killed myself, maybe."
Hodge raised his head, looking up at Jace through his matted, filthy hair.
"I wasn't sure," he said again, half to himself. "And in the times that I wondered, I thought perhaps that upbringing might matter more than blood, that you could be taught."
"Taught what? Not to be a monster?"
Jace's voice shook, but the knife in his hand was steady.
"You should know better. He made a crawling coward out of you, didn't he? And you weren't a helpless little kid when he did it. You could have fought back."
Hodge's eyes fell. "I tried to do my best by you," he said.
But even to Clary's ears, his words sounded weak.
"Until Valentine came back," Jay said. "And then you did everything he asked of you. You gave me to him like I was a dog that had belonged to him once, that he'd asked you to look after for a few years."
"And then you left," said Alec. "You left us all.
Did you really think you could hide here in Alicante?
I didn't come here to hide, said Hodge, his voice lifeless. I came here to stop Valentine.
You can't expect us to believe that. Alec sounded angry again now. You've always been on Valentine's side. You could have chosen to turn your back on him.
I could never have chosen that.
Hodge's voice rose.
Your parents were given their chance for a new life. I was never given that. I was trapped in the Institute for 15 years.
The Institute was our home, Alec said. Was it really so bad living with us, being part of our family?
Not because of you.
Hodge's voice was ragged.
I loved you, children, but you were children. And no place that you are never allowed to leave can be a home.
I went weeks sometimes without speaking to another adult. No other shadow hunter would trust me. Not even your parents truly liked me. They tolerated me because they had no choice. I could never marry, never have children of my own, never have a life. And eventually you children would have been grown and gone, and then I wouldn't have even had that. I lived in fear as much as I lived at all.
You can't make us feel sorry for you, Jay said. Not after what you did. And what the hell were you afraid of, spending all your time in the library? Dust mites? We were the ones who went out and fought demons.
He was afraid of Valentine, Simon said. Don't you get it?
Jace shot him a venomous look.
Shut up, vampire. This isn't in any way about you.
Not Valentine exactly, Hodge said, looking at Simon for almost the first time since he'd been dragged from the cell.
There was something in that look that surprised Clary. A tired, almost affection.
My own weakness where Valentine was concerned. I knew he would return someday. I knew he would make a bid for power again, a bid to rule the Clave. And I knew what he could offer me. Freedom from my curse. A life. A place in the world. I could have been a shadow hunter again in his world. I could never be one again in this one.
There was a naked longing in his voice that was painful to hear.
And I knew I would be too weak to refuse him if he offered it. And look at the life you got, Jay spat. Rotting in the cells of the guard. Was it worth it, betraying us? You know the answer to that.
Hodge sounded exhausted.
Valentine took the curse off me. He'd sworn he would, and he did. I thought he'd bring me back to the Circle, or what remained of it then. He didn't. Even he didn't want me. I knew there would be no place for me in his new world. And I knew I'd sold out everything I did have for a lie.
He looked down at his clenched, filthy hands.
There was only one thing I had left. One chance to make something other than an utter waste out of my life. After I heard that Valentine had killed the Silent Brothers, that he had the Mortal Sword, I knew he would go after the Mortal Glass next. I knew he needed all three of the instruments. And I knew the Mortal Glass was here in Idris.
Wait. Alec held up a hand. The Mortal Glass? You mean you know where it is and who has it?
No one has it, said Hodge. No one could own the Mortal Glass. No Nephilim and no Downworlder.
You really did go crazy down there, Jace said, jerking his chin toward the burned-out windows of the dungeons. Didn't you?
Jace. Clary was looking anxiously up at the guard, its roof crowned with a thorny net of red-gold flames. The fire is spreading. We should get out of here. We can talk down in the city.
I was locked in the Institute for 15 years, Hodge went on, as if Clary hadn't spoken. I couldn't put so much as a hand or a foot outside. I spent all my time in the library, researching ways to remove the curse the Clave had put on me. I learned that only a mortal instrument could reverse it. I read book after book telling the story of the mythology of the angel, how he rose from the lake bearing the mortal instruments and gave them to Jonathan Shadowhunter, the first Nephilim, and how there were three of them, cup, sword, and mirror.
We know all this, Jace interrupted, exasperated. You taught it to us.
You think you know all of it, but you don't.
As I went over and over the various versions of the histories, I happened again and again on the same illustration, the same image. We've all seen it. The angel rising out of the lake with the sword in one hand and the cup in the other. I could never understand why the mirror wasn't pictured.
Then I realized. The mirror is the lake. The lake is the mirror. They are one and the same.
Jace lowered the knife.
Lake Lynn?
Clary thought of the lake, like a mirror rising to meet her, the water shattering apart on impact. I fell in the lake when I first got here. There is something about it. Luke said it has strange properties and that the fair folk call it the Mirror of Dreams.
Exactly, Hodge began eagerly. And I realized the Clave wasn't aware of this, that the knowledge had been lost to time. Even Valentine didn't know.
He was interrupted by a crashing roar, the sound of a tower at the far end of the guard collapsing. It sent up a fireworks display of red and glittering sparks.
Jace, Alec said, raising his head in alarm. Jace, we have to get out of here. Get up, he said to Hodge, yanking him upright by the arm. You can tell the Clave what you just told us.
Hodge got shakily to his feet.
What must it be like, Clary thought with a pang of unwelcome pity, to live your life ashamed not just of what you'd done, but of what you were doing, and of what you knew you'd do again.
Hodge had given up a long time ago trying to live a better life or a different one. All he wanted was not to be afraid, and so he was afraid all the time.
Come on. Alec, still gripping Hodge's arm, propelled him forward.
But Jay stepped in front of them both, blocking their way.
If Valentine gets the mortal glass, he said, what then?
Jace, Alex said, still holding Hodge's arm. Not now.
If he tells it to the Clave, we'll never hear it from them, Jay said. To them we're just children. But Hodge owes us this.
He turned on his old tutor.
You said you realized you had to stop Valentine. Stop him doing what? What does the mirror give him the power to do?
Hodge shook his head.
I can't. And no lies.
The knife gleamed at Jace's side. His hand was tight on the hilt.
Because maybe for every lie you tell me, I'll cut off a finger. Or two.
Hodge cringed back, real fear in his eyes. Alec looked stricken.
Jace, no. This is what your father's like. It's not what you're like.
Alec, Jace said. He didn't look at his friend, but his tone was like the touch of a regretful hand.
You don't really know what I'm like.
Alec's eyes met Clary's across the grass. He can't imagine why Jace is acting like this, she thought. He doesn't know. She took a step forward.
Jace, Alec is right. We can take Hodge down to the hall and he can tell the Clave what he's just told us. If he'd been willing to tell the Clave, he would have done it already. Jay snapped without looking at her. The fact that he didn't proves he's a liar. The Clave isn't to be trusted, Hodge protested desperately. There are spies in it, Valentine's men. I couldn't tell them where the mirror is. If Valentine found the mirror, he would be...
He never finished his sentence. Something bright silver gleamed out in the moonlight, a nail head of light in the darkness. Alec cried out.
Hodge's eyes flew wide as he staggered, clawing at his chest.
As he sank backward, Clary saw why. The hilt of a long dagger protruded from his rib cage, like the haft of an arrow bristling from its target. Alec, leaping forward, caught his old tutor as he fell and lowered him gently to the ground. He looked up helplessly, his face spattered with Hodge's blood.
Jace, why?
I didn't. Jace's face was white, and Clary saw that he still held his knife, gripped tightly at his side. Simon spun around and Clary turned with him, staring into the darkness. The fire lit the grass with a hellish orange glow, but it was black between the trees of the hillside. And then something emerged from the blackness. A shadowy figure, with familiar dark, tumbled hair. He moved toward them, the light catching his face and reflecting off his dark eyes. They looked as if they were burning.
Sebastian? Clary said.
Jace looked wildly from Hodge to Sebastian, standing uncertainly at the edge of the garden. Jace looked almost dazed.
You, he said. You did this?
I had to do it, Sebastian said. He would have killed you.
With what?
Jace's voice rose and cracked.
He didn't even have a weapon.
Jace! Alec cut through Jace's shouting. Come here, help me with Hodge.
He would have killed you, Sebastian said again. He would have.
But Jace had gone to kneel beside Alec, sheathing his knife at his belt. Alec was holding Hodge in his arms, blood on his own shirt front now. Take the stele from my pocket, he said to Jace. Try in Iratze. Clary, stiff with horror, felt Simon stir beside her. She turned to look at him and was shocked. He was white as paper, except for a hectic red flush on both cheekbones. She could see the veins snaking under his skin like the growth of some delicate branching coral.
The blood, he whispered, not looking at her. I have to get away from it.
Clary reached to catch his sleeve, but he lurched back, jerking his arm out of her grasp.
No, Clary, please, let me go. I'll be okay. I'll be back. I just...
She started after him, but he was too quick for her to hold him back. He vanished into the darkness between the trees.
Hodge. Alec sounded panicked. Hodge, hold still.
But his tutor was struggling feebly, trying to pull away from him, away from the stele in Jace's hand.
No.
Hodge's face was the color of putty. His eyes darted from Jace to Sebastian, who was still hanging back in the shadows.
Jonathan.
Jace, Jace said almost in a whisper.
Call me Jace.
Hodge's eyes rested on him. Clary could not decipher the look in them. Pleading, yes, but something more than that, filled with dread or something like it, and with need. He lifted a warding hand.
Not you,
he whispered, and blood spilled from his mouth with the words. A look of hurt flashed across Jace's face.
Alec, do the Iratze. I don't think he wants me to touch him.
Hodge's hand tightened into a claw. He clutched at Jace's sleeve. The rattle of his breath was audible.
You were... never.
And he died. Clary could tell the moment the life left him. It was not a quiet, instant thing like in a movie. His voice choked off in a gurgle, and his eyes rolled back, and he went limp and heavy, his arm bent awkwardly under him. Alec closed Hodge's eyes with his fingertips.
Vale, Hodge Starkweather. He doesn't deserve that.
Sebastian's voice was sharp.
He wasn't a shadow hunter, he was a traitor. He doesn't deserve the last words.
Alec's head jerked up. He lowered Hodge to the ground and rose to his feet, his blue eyes like ice. Blood streaked his clothes.
You know nothing about him. You killed an unarmed man, a Nephilim. You're a murderer.
Sebastian's lip curled.
You think I don't know who that was? He gestured at Hodge. Starkweather was in the circle. He betrayed the Clave then and was cursed for it. He should have died for what he did, but the Clave was lenient. And where did it get them? He betrayed us all again when he sold the mortal cup to Valentine just to get his curse lifted. A curse he deserved.
He paused, breathing hard.
I shouldn't have done it. But you can't say he didn't deserve it.
How do you know so much about Hodge? Clary demanded. And what are you doing here? I thought you agreed to stay back at the hall.
Sebastian hesitated. You were taking so long, he said finally. I got worried. I thought you might need my help.
So you decided to help us by killing the guy we were talking to? Clary demanded.
Because you thought he had a shady past? Who does that? It doesn't make any sense. That's because he's lying, Jace said.
He was looking at Sebastian, a cold, considering look.
And not well. I thought you'd be a little faster on your feet there, Verloc.
Sebastian met his look evenly. I don't know what you mean, Morgenstern.
He means, said Alec, stepping forward, that if you really think what you just did was justified, you won't mind coming with us to the Accords Hall and explaining yourself to the Council, will you?
A beat passed before Sebastian smiled. The smile that had charmed Clary before, but now there was something a little off-kilter about it, like a picture hanging slightly crookedly on a wall.
Of course not.
He moved toward them slowly, almost strolling, as if he didn't have a worry in the world, as if he hadn't just committed murder.
Of course, he said.
It is a little odd that you're so upset that I killed a man when Jace was planning on cutting his fingers off one by one.
Alec's mouth tightened.
He wouldn't have done it.
You, Jace looked at Sebastian with loathing, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Or maybe, Sebastian said, you're really just angry because I kissed your sister, because she wanted me.
I did not, Clary said, but neither of them was looking at her.
Want you, I mean.
She has this little habit, you know, the way she gasps when you kiss her like she's surprised.
Sebastian had come to a stop now just in front of Jace and was smiling like an angel.
It's rather endearing. He must have noticed it.
Jace looked as if he wanted to throw up.
My sister.
Your sister, Sebastian said.
Is she? Because you two don't act like it. You think other people can't see the way you look at each other? You think you're hiding the way you feel? You think everyone doesn't think it's sick and unnatural? Because it is.
That's enough.
The look on Jace's face was murderous.
Why are you doing this? Clary said. Sebastian, why are you saying all these things?
Because I finally can, Sebastian said. You've no idea what it's been like being around a lot of you these past few days, having to pretend I could stand you, that the sight of you didn't make me sick. You, he said to Jace. Every second you're not panting after your own sister. You're whining on and on about how your daddy didn't love you. Well, who could blame him? And you, you stupid bitch. He turned to Clary. Giving that priceless book away to a half-breed warlock? Have you got a single brain cell in that tiny head of yours? And you?
He directed his next sneer at Alec.
I think we all know what's wrong with you. They shouldn't let your kind in the clave. You're disgusting.
Alec paled, though he looked more astonished than anything else. Clary couldn't blame him. It was hard to look at Sebastian, at his angelic smile, and imagine he could say these things.
Pretend you could stand us, she echoed. But why would you have to pretend that unless you were spying on us, she finished, realizing the truth even as she spoke it.
Unless you were a spy for Valentine.
Sebastian's handsome face twisted, the full mouth flattening, his long, elegant eyes narrowing to slits.
And finally they get it, he said. I swear, there are utterly lightless demon dimensions out there that are less dim than the bunch of you.
We may not be all that bright, Jay said, but at least we're alive.
Sebastian looked at him in disgust.
I'm alive. He pointed out.
Not for long, said Jace.
Moonlight exploded off the blade of his knife as he flung himself at Sebastian, his motion so fast that it seemed blurred, faster than any human movement Clary had ever seen, until now.
Sebastian darted aside, missing the blow, and caught Jace's knife arm as it descended. The knife clattered to the ground, and then Sebastian had Jace by the back of his jacket. He lifted him and flung him with incredible strength. Jace flew through the air, hit the wall of the guard with bone-cracking force, and crumpled to the ground.
Jace!
Clary's vision went white. She ran at Sebastian to choke the life out of him, but he sidestepped her and brought his hand down as casually as if he were swatting an insect aside. The blow caught her hard on the side of the head, sending her spinning to the ground. She rolled over, blinking a red mist of pain out of her eyes.
Alec had taken his bow from his back. It was drawn, an arrow notched at the ready. His hands didn't waver as he aimed at Sebastian.
Stay where you are, he said, and put your hands behind your back.
Sebastian laughed. You wouldn't really shoot me, he said.
He moved toward Alec with an easy, careless step, as if he were striding up the stairs to his own front door.
Alec's eyes narrowed. His hands went up in a graceful, even series of movements. He drew the arrow back and loosed it. It flew toward Sebastian and missed.
Sebastian had ducked or moved somehow, Clary couldn't tell, and the arrow had gone past him, lodging in the trunk of a tree. Alec had time only for a momentary look of surprise before Sebastian was on him, wrenching the bow out of his grasp. Sebastian snapped it in his hands, cracked it in half, and the crack of the splintering made Clary wince as if she were hearing bones splinter. She tried to drag herself into a sitting position, ignoring the searing pain in her head. Jace was lying a few feet away from her, utterly still. She tried to get up, but her legs didn't seem to be working properly. Sebastian tossed the shattered halves of the bow aside and closed in on Alec. Alec already had a seraph blade out, glittering in his hand, but Sebastian swept it aside as Alec came at him, swept it aside and caught Alec by the throat, almost lifting him off his feet. He squeezed, mercilessly, viciously, grinning as Alec choked and struggled.
"Lightwood," he breathed. "I've taken care of one of you already today. I hadn't expected I'd be lucky enough to get to do it twice."
He jerked backward, like a puppet whose strings had been yanked. Released, Alec slumped to the ground, his hands at his throat. Clary could hear his rattling, desperate breath, but her eyes were on Sebastian. A dark shadow had affixed itself to his back and was clinging to him like a leech. He clawed at his throat, gagging and choking as he spun in place, clawing at the thing that had hold of his throat. As he turned, the moonlight fell on him, and Clary saw what it was. It was Simon. His arms were wrapped around Sebastian's neck, his white incisors glittering like bone needles. It was the first time Clary had seen him actually look fully like a vampire since the night he'd risen from his grave, and she stared in horrified amazement, unable to look away. His lips were curled back in a snarl, his fangs fully extended and sharp as daggers. He sank them into Sebastian's forearm, opening up a long red tear in the skin. Sebastian yelled out loud and flung himself backward, landing hard on the ground. He rolled, Simon half on top of him, the two of them clawing at each other, tearing and snarling like dogs in a pit. Sebastian was bleeding in several places when he finally staggered to his feet and delivered two hard kicks to Simon's ribcage. Simon doubled over, clutching his midsection.
"You foul little tick," Sebastian snarled, drawing his foot back for another blow.
"I wouldn't," said a quiet voice. Clary's head jerked up, sending another starburst of pain shooting behind her eyes. Jay stood a few feet from Sebastian. His face was bloody, one eye swollen nearly shut, but in one hand was a blazing seraph blade, and the hand that held it was steady.
"I've never killed a human being with one of these before," said Jace, "but I'm willing to try."
Sebastian's face twisted. He glanced down once at Simon and then raised his head and spat. The words he said after that were in a language Clary didn't recognize. And then he turned, with the same terrifying swiftness with which he'd moved when he'd attacked Jace, and vanished into the darkness.
"No!"
Clary cried. She tried to raise herself to her feet, but the pain was like an arrow searing its way through her brain. She crumpled to the damp grass. A moment later, Jace was leaning over her, his face pale and anxious. She looked up at him, her vision blurring. It had to be blurred, didn't it? Or she could never have imagined that whiteness around him, a sort of light. She heard Simon's voice and then Alex, and something was handed down to Jace, a stele. Her arm burned, and a moment later the pain began to recede and her head cleared. She blinked up at the three faces hovering over hers.
"My head..."
"You have a concussion," Jay said. "The Aratze should help, but we ought to get you to a Clave doctor. Head injuries can be tricky."
He handed the stele back to Alec.
"Do you think you can stand up?"
She nodded. It was a mistake. Pain shot through her again as hands reached down and helped her to her feet. Simon. She leaned against him gratefully, waiting for her balance to return. She still felt as if she might fall over at any minute.
Jace was scowling. "You shouldn't have attacked Sebastian like that. You didn't even have a weapon. What were you thinking?" "What were we all thinking?"
Alec unexpectedly came to her defense.
"That he'd just thrown you through the air like a softball. Jace. I've never seen anyone get the better of you like that."
He surprised me," Jace said a little reluctantly. "He must have had some kind of special training. I wasn't expecting it."
"Yeah, well..." Simon touched his ribcage, wincing. "I think he kicked in a couple of my ribs. It's okay," he added at Clary's worried look. "They're healing. But Sebastian's definitely strong.
really strong. He looked at Jace. How long do you think he was standing there in the shadows?
Jace looked grim. He glanced among the trees in the direction Sebastian had gone.
Well, the clave will catch.